There are currently thousands of young South Africans who are studying abroad and more wanting to study abroad, chasing opportunity, education, well, and sometimes just a bit of distance from home. But sometimes getting the offer is difficult, and often that is only the beginning. I can tell you I've had calls from friends and some South African families I don't even know to help with their children to study abroad. So we have Brent Morris from Sable International, a company that has made it their business to smooth the path for South Africans studying abroad, in the studio with us. Hi, Brent. So nice to see you again.
Hi there. It's so great to be back on. And yeah, great to speak to you.
Well, tell me, are many students already studying in overseas, and many want to study?
So I think the numbers are in the hundreds of thousands that study abroad. I'm not talking only South African. I'm talking globally. It's become a big part of most kind of third world countries is to have their young go study abroad, where universities are generally oversubscribed because there's just not enough of them in those countries, and the governments that are in place haven't planned and developed the university systems to accommodate the youth that's coming through. So countries like India, Nigeria, you know, even down in South Africa, we have this huge youth population coming through, and generally there's not enough universities to cope. So the alternative is for students to study overseas. And as we know, it just creates great opportunities for them from an employment perspective, but experience, life experience, and then, you know, just coming back home with that experience themselves, there's some exciting case studies where they've done really, really well. So there's a number of different benefits besides just the general going and getting a degree from an international university. A lot of times the university is not always, it's not always about so higher ranked or better. It's just sometimes that life experience that plays into it. So we love to help students with that, and we do that really, really well.
Well, can we look at South Africa? So how many South Africans want to study overseas, and what have you found? Do they find it easy to get a place or difficult to cope once they're there?
So statistically, it's the stats say there's around 12,000 students studying abroad each year from South Africa. So it's broken up between the UK, USA being the top two. And then it kind of trickles down into Australia, Canada, and then Ireland, and then kind of all the way down to obscure countries like Saudi Arabia or even Iran and places like that. If you look at the stats, there's some students going everywhere. You know, we generally a very international community, so we get around all over the place. So they're going all over, but the main core countries like the UK and USA, that's where most students are going. That's where most students are looking at. And that's where they're finding it. They're generally going, you know, where they know and where they can find it a little bit easier to get into. But it's quite a challenge. That's what we're seeing. And they definitely need the support.
So is it more difficult, say, to get into the UK into a university at the moment?
No, I wouldn't say it's difficult at all. I think there's just the whole process can be quite overwhelming because there's 140 universities in the US, in the UK. In the USA, there's over 4,000. So which university is right for you? Which course is right for you? That's the challenge that most students find. When you're spending that kind of money to study overseas, you don't want to get it wrong. And that's where I think it's really important to do the right research. So making sure you get into the right university for the right program. Students generally, particularly South Africans, like I said, will follow where a friend went. Oh, I need to go to Edinburgh University because my friend went there. But I want to study a creative subject. That might not be the right university for you because they're not great at that sort of program. Or they might be, but you need to instead of following where your friend went, it's going to the university that's right for you. The other challenges with studying abroad is after application, after getting your visa, you know, it might take you time to get all of that done. And again, you might choose universities that aren't right for your academics or your program. Then you've got to get the visa. And that's becoming more and more challenging. And we spoke earlier about how UK universities are being clamped down by the government to make sure that they scrutinize their students even more. They can't afford to get more than 5% of their students rejected. That's globally, meaning that there are going to be there's going to be more and more scrutinization on students when it comes to making sure they have the right financials available for the university or for the visa that they apply for, making sure they have the right acceptance and the right documents in place. There's less and less opportunity for students to make mistakes. because the universities cannot afford to have these mistakes made. If they lose their license, they cannot recruit international students. It's that simple. There's no buts, ums, maybe. The universities will lose their ability to recruit international students. It means universities are going to be more and more serious around the visa time. And I think that's where we come into play, where we've got OSSIC registered migration agents on hand. We do thousands of visas every year, literally thousands of visas. We know what we're doing. Why do it on your own when you don't need to, when you've got a professional company like this who really knows what they're doing? And in most cases, because we work for the university covers the cost for you. So it's not even an additional cost to use our service when it comes to this.
Oh, okay. And you claim quite a success rate. So how successful are you in getting these students into the right universities?
So we have a 100% success rate when it comes to getting placement. That doesn't mean necessarily that we're going to guarantee the university that you want to. You can't come to us and say, I want to get into Oxford, but I've got terrible grades. We're not going to be able to guarantee you that. What we will do is we'll say, no, we can't get you there, but let's apply to a university where we think we can get you into. And what we're seeing is, on average, every student we apply to at least five universities, we get at least one offer. And that's listening to us. If we do have a disclaimer where if you want to apply to a university that we don't think you're going to get into, that's on you. And we remove that from our statistics, because as far as we're concerned, that's at your risk. But if we say to you, we think we're going to get you into these five universities, we think there's a chance, we guarantee we'll get you to at least one. And that's something we'll take on. And then with regards to our visa success rate, we have around a 99% visa success rate. And considering that's across the board, USA, UK, all of the countries we send to, it's really, really high, because we do in the thousands. So we make sure that we know what we're doing when it comes to visa.
Yeah, and something about Oxford, you think you just apply to Oxford, then you discover that you actually have to apply for a specific college. And often your chance of getting into one, not the other. So it's really, you really should have guidance. It asked me, I'm in the country, and I've had personal experience with one of my children with that. So if you apply if you say, I want to be in Jesus in Oxford, you might actually get into Oxford if you don't go for that college.
Yes, exactly. So it can be very daunting, because there's so many different stages. And the Oxbridge application process is a little bit earlier than the general universities, along with medicine. You have to have a UCAT for medicine, which is a specific test you have to do for a lot of the medical schools. There's a number of different processes you need to go through. I mean, in one breath, there can be some confusions. And then in the other breath, it can be simpler than you realize. You know, we do accept, in most cases, we will accept your IEB standard matric into most universities. So there's a lot of misinformation around. I think that's where the confusion comes in, where it can be quite challenging. Students come along and say, do you want any SATs to get into the UK? Of course not. That's a standard American acceptance test. So why would you need it to get into the UK? But then at the same time, they don't understand they need UCAT to get into most medical schools. So I think that the confusion levels and the kind of gossip around the moms groups, or I want to say moms, but I'm generalizing because the dads are often in those groups as well, is that there's just a lot of confusion around what you actually need. And sometimes it's a lot simpler if you just follow the simple process that we allow our students to go through. And we really have a simple staged process that we follow our students through that makes it very, very straightforward and very easy for students to know where and what to do at each step of the process.
Yeah, and there are things in the UK, like if you want to study law, you need an LNAT, yes. Which is different.
Yes.
Yeah. So once the student lands abroad or is off on the plane, do you still play a role?
We do. So we've got when they land in the university, we're always on call, because what happens is the parents will phone us if anything goes wrong. So we make sure that we're available. Our service does technically end once they're placed in the university and they're enrolled. However, we're always going to be available. There's nothing more enjoyable for us than when a student phones us from the university telling us of their journey and the success that they're having. I had a student phone me the other day. He'd graduated. He'd spent a year internship at a law firm, and he'd just been offered a job in a USA law firm doing international law across there. And he was so excited because he was transferring over to the USA, and he just wanted to thank me for the journey he'd been down with us and how we had changed his life. And for me, we all had tears in our eyes, and we all had a little cry about it, and we all celebrated. There's nothing more enjoyable for us than that, seeing that success with our students.
So what's the most common crisis you've been called to from parents in South Africa?
It's generally, how does my student feed himself? You know, there's things, where's the cafeteria? It's crazy, things like that. how are they going to get food at the shops? So we get calls like that. That's the general one. It's, what flights do we book and how do we get there and all these sorts of things. And we do a pre-departure events and we try help them out with that. So there's a lot of post-support. And then, of course, once the student graduates, we've got a full immigration team in the UK. So if they do want to stay back and they want to go into their graduate visa, if we're looking at the UK or their for UK in particular, if they're looking at staying back there and they want to go onto their graduate visa and then onto their professional visa, we can support with all of that too. And we can support all the way through to nationalization. We have a dedicated team that does that. And we can help with that process quite simply. Again, it's quite a straightforward process. As long as you can get the right company to sponsor you, which is generally the case. And we don't necessarily help with employment, but once you get there and you've got that, your graduate visa in place, you go on and look for work. Once you've got an employer, it's a lot easier for them to bring on a sponsorship, and we can help with all of that too. So we have a very, very good team on hand in the country that can help with all those sorts of processes.
We've talked a lot about the UK. What about the USA and Europe, or where else you want to study? Or Australia?
Yeah, Australia and Europe are definitely coming through. USA is an interesting one at the moment with all that's happening with Trump. So we're kind of watching that space. However, students are still very, very eager and very keen to go. We do a lot of sports placements in the USA, and it's really, really successful. And we're helping a lot of incredible students with that. With regards to Australia, Australia is also been fluctuating with their immigration, and we're seeing things really stabilize now. And you know, great universities, great locations, and great programs. So we really think Australia is a great location with regards to, especially post-study. Once you graduate, there's so many post-study opportunities in Australia. What's really exciting is alternative countries like Germany coming through, Spain, Ireland, where there's awesome post-study opportunities for students. The cost of study is a lot lower than the UK or Australia or even the USA. And we're seeing great universities come through. A lot of them are really internationally focused and teaching in English. So you can study in Germany, you get a post-study work visa once you graduate. And it's a very English-speaking country if you're in the cities. And learning the language as a South African can actually be quite, I don't want to say easy, but we tend to pick it up a lot easier because of our Afrikaans background. Mm. Again, same as in the Netherlands. We tend to assimilate into those cultures quite a lot easier than a lot of the other international students, because it just feels a little bit more normal for us, because we've got that kind of history of culture coming through. And you'll laugh and say, oh, what about the black students that haven't had that? You'd be surprised how the influence is on both sides. They tend to also have that kind of historical culture influence, and they tend to assimilate quite well. I've met students, South African students in Germany, who come from all race, and they've all assimilated really, really easy because the culture does align with ours quite nicely. And they do quite well, and they learn the language quite quickly, and they do really, really well in country. And there's definitely, the German society is very, very multicultural and very accepting, and there's a lot going on. There's a lot of immigration coming into the country, and they need immigration because they, especially in the health sector, they're just lacking in that side. So they're hungry for health workers. They're hungry for IT, they're hungry for engineers, and there's a lot of opportunity in that.
Well, I've actually know South African students who did master's degree in English, in France, and in Spain, and they cope very well because these graduate programs are for international students, so you do not have a language problem. So you know, they are all options.
Yeah, we tend to find our students, South Africans in particular, just assimilate really, really well. And as you say, they teach all the programs in English. And then what I suggest is you learn the language of the country you're in on the side. You want to get your accommodation with locals if possible, so that you can pick up the language quicker, because you want to learn the language. You're gonna assimilate so much quicker if you do learn the language. Even though if you go into international business or something like that and you don't need the language necessarily, it's still helpful when you do speak the local language.
You need good grades to get into these overseas universities?
It all depends. So it depends on the university you're going to. It just varies. So we can assist students. There's foundation programs in most countries these days. So we can assist students that haven't necessarily got the best grades. However, the better grades you have, and I want to kind of really pull this point across, the higher your grades, guys, the better opportunities we're going to have for you. The more options we're going to have available for you with the better grades you get. If you get lower grades, we just get less options. That's all.
So just finally, if somebody's thinking about this process now, why shouldn't they do it on their own?
Again, I think that that's where it can be really confusing for them. It's if they're applying their own, they're just a number in the university. It's going to take longer to get your offer letter. There's going to be so much back and forth. Did you submit the right document? Did you not? When you come through us, we work for the university. We have our own portals within the university. We know these universities like the back of our hand. When we submit an application, we get an offer turned around. We had a German offer turned around in 2 hours the other day. We submitted the application. Within 2 hours, the offer was issued because all the documents were submitted correctly. So they were able to automate that response immediately. They looked through and said everything ticks, tick, 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 tick. Offer was released immediately. Now, bear in mind, this is a business offer, so it was quite straightforward. But we submitted the English test, we suggested the academics, and everything was aligned and everything was spot on. And bearing in mind, we're going to pre-check, do you qualify academically for this university? Do you qualify from an immigration perspective to get into that country? Are there any immigration barriers? Do you qualify financially? We don't want to apply to a university that you can't afford. So we make sure that those three areas are covered before we make any sort of application. By the time we apply, we've got all the documents in place and we apply and we get an offer turned around very, very quickly. And we make sure that it's issued with as little conditions as possible. So it's quicker and easier for you. And then it's the same thing with our visa. When we apply for a visa, we've got very, very strong checklists. We check everything. We check your bank statements and your financials to make sure that they match what is required by the immigration body that is going to look at them. And because we've done this over and over again, we know what we're doing. For example, Ireland last year started, they changed their visa process for South Africans. South Africans did not need visas. Last year, August, they changed their mind and they decided South Africans did need visas. We were one of the very few companies in place that knew how to do a student visa for Ireland because we'd been doing it in Zimbabwe, we've been doing it in Uganda and Nigeria for years. So South Africans, we had all of our students all of a sudden needing visas. We never got one rejection. We got all of our students their visas in time because we knew what to do. And it's really, really important to know the process and we know it really well.
So the cost of using Sable International is paid by the universities?
So we have two packages. We have a package that is going to one of our university partners, and that is covered by the university. If they go to a non-university partner, then there is a fee, and we can break that down for the students if they need it. However, we work with, in the UK, for example, 70% of the local universities. So there's a high chance you'll be going to a university that we do work with. So why not use our service? Because it's more than likely going to be covered by us.
So if people want to go on this journey with you, where do they get information?
So fortunately, we have an international education expo coming up in September. So I'm going to run through those dates with you, if that's okay, and then with the location so people can join us. The event starts at around 1 o'clock and finish at around 7. You don't need to necessarily register. You can. You can go into our website, sableinternational.com, and you can register for our expos. However, if you just want to arrive, you can arrive anything between 1 and 7, and it's an expo-style event, so you can walk around, mingle, speak to universities, learn information, speak to our team, and they'll help you understand as well what the process is all about. So I'm going to break it down quickly and just run through the dates. So it's the 8th of September in Johannesburg at Bilal College. So that's a great school in Johannesburg, and we're hosting it on campus at the school. So postgraduate or undergraduate, it's not just open to school students. It's for everybody, professionals who want to learn about studying abroad. Second is on the 9th of September in KZN at Kearsney College in around the Kloof area. And then the last one is in the 10th of September in Stellenbosch at Paul Roos High School. And again, most people know where that is. I shouldn't need to explain that one because anybody in Stellenbosch knows where Paul Roos is. Again, it's on campus. It's open to postgrad and undergrad or anybody who's looking to study overseas and wants some information. We are there. The entrance is free. So there's no cost for you to come and attend. Please come along and come and meet my team.
Brent Morris from Sable International. Thank you.
Thank you.